for being able to be here. Appreciate your prayers for us. I'd like to look at a verse starting off in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. This is when David had sinned. He numbered the men of war of Israel. God sent the prophet Gad to speak to him, and he gave him three different choices. It was a consequence for his decision. But in verse 14, David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. I can only imagine what David must have felt. I am in a great strait. But he said, let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Let me not fall into the hand of man. I was thinking about David here and his confidence in the hands of God. He wanted to didn't want to fall into the hands of man. He said, let us fall into the hand of the Lord. And I've been really inspired with that thought, that scripture, that our life, that we would allow our life, our choices, our decisions, to fall into the hands of the Lord. And that we would put ourselves in the hands of the Lord. And I believe the Lord takes good care of His property. He takes watchful notice and care. I was thinking about Brother Galen mentioning that near head-on collision, and I thought, you know, the Lord wasn't taken by surprise. Things like that don't take God by surprise. The Lord sees those things when we don't. But I'm thinking about the hands of God and how good and how wonderful it is when we can consecrate our life, ourselves, and put ourselves in the hands of God. Now you may say, well, I did that years ago. Well, I want to encourage us. There's times when we got to do it again, let me tell you. There's times when we got to bring ourselves back and present ourselves to God. Give ourselves to Him and let Him know that we're not taking our own way, that we're not going to do it on our own. And we put ourselves into His hands. I believe that's a... And David seemed to have confidence in the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And I want us to be able to have confidence in the hands of the Lord also. And I believe the Lord tries to prove Himself to us through life, that we can lean on Him and we can trust Him. I want to get another scripture in the book of Jonah. I want to talk about a little bit about Jonah this morning too. Jonah, I don't know, maybe he doesn't appreciate this book with his name on it. Looking back, but I'm sure thankful it's in the scriptures. I'm thankful it's there. In verse 1 it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. You suppose Jonah knew what the voice of the Lord was? But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he went and paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, I believe Tarshish was the opposite direction of Nineveh. I believe I've looked that up before, and it was diametrically opposed to what the Lord spoke to him about. And he boarded a ship. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to do this task that God called him to do. In verse 4 it says, "The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was broken, was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid." This was a pretty desperate situation with men at sea getting afraid of the sea. That was their life. I remember one time there in Oregon, we went deep sea fishing, and it's been years ago. I don't know if Matthew made it out of the harbor. He was sick. He looked green. Matthew's skin color was green. And he never came out of the never came out of the cabin that was on the boat, poor boy. And anyway, we weren't in a storm. We weren't, you know, it was a pretty good ocean day, really. But I remember baiting my hook, looking down, baiting my hook. At the same time, the boat dropped and sank and twisted. And I felt it. I knew I was headed to the other side of the boat. Everybody that fished was fishing on one side. Everybody that was feeding the fish had to go to the other side of the boat. So I went and fed the fish, and Philip, my brother-in-law, he took a picture of me feeding the fish. That wasn't too pretty. But these men, they were and when we got back, that one of the guys, there was two guys from Texas. He came up to me and he gave me their fish. And he said, "I don't want to see a fish and I don't want to smell a fish. You can have our fish." So we got more than what we actually caught, which was a blessing. But you know, I've heard people say, as soon as your feet touch the ground, it's gone. Have you ever heard that? Seasickness? As soon as your feet get on the ground, it's gone. I want to tell you something. That wasn't true for me. That highway was rolling all the way home. Hour and a half drive. If I didn't do what God wanted me to do, I don't think I'd go get on a boat. Or an airplane. But Lord, help us to be willing to obey. But this was no small tempest. These were seasoned. They were afraid. This was a great wind into the sea. The Lord sent out a great wind. You know, the Lord has a hand in many things in our lives that we don't always see. We don't always recognize at the time. He's got a hand. And Jonah, I don't know how he was asleep in the bottom of the ship. I don't know. It seems like there may be a lesson in that too. The one that was causing the trouble didn't know it. He was asleep. But they soon woke him up. They cast lots. Lo and behold, the lot fell on Jonah. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. You know, when we flee from the presence of God, it doesn't just affect our lives, but it affects those around us also. And Jonah put his life, or these men's lives, at risk, at jeopardy to some extent, some degree. He caused trouble. They had to cast out their wares. It cost them. It cost those men that he were with. And that's the way life is. When we get outside of the will of God, when we get out of the hands of God, we cause problems, we cause trouble. And it costs. There's a cost involved. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. You think Jonah was in a great strait, like David? I think he was. Pretty hard strait. Pretty tough spot to be in. Take me up, cast me forth in the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. What do you suppose was going through Jonah's mind? Probably I messed up pretty bad this time. I messed up really bad this time. I think his future probably came before him. His past. His life. He probably thought maybe this is the end. I don't know what. I just imagine Scripture really doesn't tell us what all went through Jonah's mind. But I no doubt he probably thought this might be to be cast over ship. I wouldn't want to be cast out in the sea on a calm day, let alone in a storm. But you know, the Lord's hands. The hands of the Lord were there for Jonah. It says, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. You know, I'll put my own slant on it. I kind of think the Lord maybe took him towards Nineveh. That's my own interpretation. 3 days and 3 nights, the belly of the fish. And Jonah cried out to the Lord. And don't have to read it all, but it said the Lord spake unto the fish. And the fish vomited Jonah out on dry land. And I wonder if Jonah thought, where am I at? You know, where? Maybe it took him a while to figure out where he was at. Do you think he probably knelt in thanksgiving there on the beach with all that mucus and seaweed and all that stuff was on him? I believe Jonah probably knelt. But I think about how great the hands of God are. Lord, help us to trust you more. Help us not to be so afraid. When you call us to a task, when you ask for a sacrifice, Lord, help us to be able to cast ourselves out into the hands of God. That's the best place that we can be. You know, to human sight, them throwing Jonah overboard, I don't know if those men ever knew what happened to Jonah. I don't know if they ever saw the fish. Doesn't say how deep Jonah went before the fish swallowed him. You know, we don't know all those things. They may never have saw him again. But to the human sight, it looks like a waste. Looks like loss. But you know, that was really the best place for Jonah to be. The Lord had him right where Jonah, right where the Lord wanted him to be. Right in his grasp. Lord sent the wind. He sent the storm. They tried everything they could get the boat to the land, and it wasn't happening. Until Jonah was cast into the sea. You know, the best place for us is in the hands of God today. Giving ourselves wholly to Him, without reserve, without our excuses, without our human reasonings, our arguments. Just to give ourselves wholly to Him and say, Lord, I'm yours. Whatever you design, whatever your will is, I want to challenge us to have that confidence in God's hands, that we can jump overboard into His will. Knowing that He will take care of us, that He will see us through, that He will help us. Thank the Lord today for the hands of God. There's a scripture I'll just mention, 2 Corinthians 8:5. It says, they gave themselves first to God, then to us by the will of God. It's so important for us to continue to give ourselves to the Lord and put ourselves in His hands. It's a very vital part of our connection to Christ, is a continual giving of ourselves and humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves and seeking His will above our will and our way. Sometimes our will and our way can get in the way. Sometimes it hinders us. It hinders our connection. It hinders the joy that God wants us to have. It hinders the peace that He has for us when we follow our course and our path. I wanted to read the song to us about Daddy's hands. You heard that song? I like that song. I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer, reaching out to hold me when I had had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the calluses and lines. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. There are things that I've forgotten that I loved about the man, but I'll always remember the love in Daddy's hands. The chorus says, Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again and never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. I wanted to mention some of us have had wonderful earthly fathers that sacrificed, that gave themselves, that labored, paid the bills, put food on the table and clothes. And I don't know, the older you get, it seems like the more that you appreciate those things. I appreciate the Brother Gary mentioned in his prayer, the fathers that we've had in this congregation. The influence that they left us. The battles. They went through. Appreciated how God blessed them, used them and worked through them. And we could name a number of names. Brother Gale, Brother Edwin, Nita's father, Brother Paul, Brother John Sisk, Brother Willie Murphy. They left an influence. They labored with their hands. We appreciate that, and I appreciate the fathers today. We have some wonderful fathers here. I want to say thank you and appreciate what God is doing through you. I can't really say that I worked till my hands have bled. I've had a few blisters and a few calluses. But I put a lot of energy into it. I'll say that. There's been a lot of sweat. But I think about Jesus' hands. The scripture in Zechariah talked about, what are these wounds in your hands? And he answers, these were the ones that I was wounded with in the house of my friends. You know, we can rejoice if we had an earthly father that was strong, and I don't think probably any of them made it through without making some failures and mistakes along the way. But if we didn't have a good earthly father, we've got a wonderful heavenly father today. And we want to trust him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, mind, and strength. And we want to put ourselves into his hands, because he paid the price. He's worthy of our life, of our love, of our devotion. I believe if we'll take our own way in life, I believe if we do our own thing and we resist the presence of God and the will of God, I believe that will end in sorrow and disappointment and heartache. But if we can jump overboard, and sometimes it's scary, sometimes you don't know the future, sometimes you don't know the next step, but if we can put ourselves in the hands of God, I'm persuaded this morning that that's the best place there is for every one of us today. The Coles have sang a song. I'm leaving it all in the hands of the Lord. Y'all heard that song? I'm leaving it all in the hands of the Lord. And I'm thankful today that we can put ourselves in the hands of the Lord, our circumstances, our situations, our failures, our weaknesses. We can put them all into the hands of the Lord, and the Lord will handle it with great care. He'll take care of it far above and beyond what we can do ourselves. You know, the hands aren't really a particular attractive part of the body. I mean, they look kind of... I mean, they look fine, but... I've had young children look at my hands and say, what those... Why you got all that hair on your hand? Knuckles. But the hands are a wonderful thing. They can be expressions of help, expressions of giving, of sacrifice. And I believe the Lord's hands this morning are a very beautiful thing, the hands of the Lord. Anyway, I'm challenged. I want to keep myself in the hands of God. Appreciate your attention this morning.